Welcome to the jungle. I'm Jim Rome. Program brought to you by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. There is so much going on this week. Wild, wild week. I am busting out at week's end to go to Kansas City for the AFC Championship game. The NFL on CBS has a two-hour pregame show. So I will be there with my thoughts on that matchup, my thoughts on the NFC Championship matchup. Essentially, whatever Drew Kalisky tells me to do. So that's coming up on Sunday. And I will have some social media from there. Looking forward to getting back to Kansas City, which has always been an amazing jungle town. We had a tour stop there back in the day that was amazing. George Brett was there, among many others, way back in the day. Coming up at 40 past this hour, Cavaliers guard Colin Sexton. Yeah, I'm not going to lie, clones. Like, I'm not going to get fired up about it. I'm a little disappointed in your phone calls. And by a little, I mean a lot. Like, I've got content. I don't need them. You know this. You know I can just bump my gums and run my mouth and do it for 3 hours every single day without a phone call. I've proven this. I can do this. But I'd rather you have calls so we can interact like that and you can make the show better. Except you're not. You're calling, but you're not calling and making the show better. That's why I'm not taking telephone calls. If you can make the show better, I'll put aside whatever it is I'm going to talk about and go right to you. 1-800-636-8686. Twitter is a good way to go as well. Follow me at Jim Rome. If you want to email me, I still read emails. Send them to rome@haveatake.com. All right, all of that said, I want to be really careful about how I treat and how I talk about this next story. The truth is, I really don't even want to talk about this next story. Because when I first saw it, I was confused, definitely shocked, and then potentially really angry. I don't want to believe that any of this is true. I really hope all of this was made up. But if that were the case, that would be insane as well. So I don't know if it's true or not. I'm only going based on the reports I've seen. And here they are. According to reports, former Penn State football player Isaiah Humphries filed a federal lawsuit Monday against the school, the head coach there, James Franklin, and a former teammate, Damian Barber. The lawsuit alleges that while he was at Penn State, Humphries was subjected to hazing by multiple teammates and that the coaching staff knew about it and did nothing to stop it. Now, before I get into the details of the suit, the school did release a statement yesterday that pointed out that they had investigated the matter and that Penn State police investigated related allegations and forwarded the results to the Center County District Attorney and that no charges were filed. Let me make that very clear. Now let me read part of an ESPN article about the lawsuit. Quote, the hazing alleged in the suit includes the participants stating that they intended to make the underclassmen, quote, their bleeps because this is a prison, end quote. Here's another passage from the same report. Quote, the actions included wrestling underclassmen to the ground while maintaining restraint, simulating a, quote, humping action, wrestling underclassmen to the ground while another participant placed his genitals on the face of underclassmen, and instances of participants placing their genitals on the buttocks of the alleged victims and stroking their genitalia. End of quote. One more allegation, quote, a participant or participants allegedly use the phrase, I am going to Sandusky you. You got to be kidding me with this, right? A person alleged to have said to another, I'm going to Sandusky you. And not just a person, but a Penn State football player allegedly went with that. Are you kidding me with that? Like, for some reason, some people seem to think that jokes about Jerry Sandusky are funny. You know, because a monster preying on kids and destroying lives is hilarious. This predator destroyed lives and is probably going to rot in prison for the rest of his life because of it. Yet for some reason, some of you still think that's pretty funny. You know, one of the sickest, most depraved humans ever. And some of you are using this guy as a punchline or using the old man as a verb. Are you kidding me with that? And again, I want to reiterate, the university also told ESPN, quote, based on extensive interviews, we did not learn of any information that would substantiate the claims, end quote. I hope that's the case. That better be the case, because the alleged actions in the lawsuit are pretty horrific. And the idea that somebody would be doing that anywhere, let alone Penn State, is unfathomable. That program, and again, I'm saying allegedly, reportedly, the school is denying it. The school is saying it was investigated and that nothing of the sort was found. If that's true, however, this program should be doing whatever it could and can in its power to distance itself from Jerry Sandusky, not recruit players who are allegedly threatening to Sandusky each other. And I hope none of that's true. I hope there is absolutely nothing to this lawsuit. And not because I root for or care about Penn State football, but because I root for and care about humanity. And if that stuff in that lawsuit is true, if upperclassmen were doing that to underclassmen and using that guy's name as a verb, then I don't really care what it means to Penn State. I care about what it means to people. Like, if that matter really is true, it's not a matter of locker room shenanigans. That's not a case of if it's true. I want to be so clear about that. If it is true, that's not boys will be boys. Get the hell out of here with that. If that's true, if the stuff that was detailed in that lawsuit is true, man, that's hideous. It's not boys being boys. It's depraved monsters being monsters. I hope that's not true. But if none of this is true, all right, if it's not true, why would somebody go to all the trouble of making up all of these allegations and hiring a lawyer and filing a suit in federal court if it's not true? What, they didn't like the way they were being used on the field? They didn't like their playing time? They didn't like their coaches? I don't know. I'm not there. But would somebody really go to all that trouble to transfer, make it all up, and file a federal lawsuit? None of it makes sense. Honestly, I don't want it to make sense. And for the life of me, I want to make this point. I've made this point on this show for 20 years running. I will never understand why people haze other people. And do not tell me I just don't get it. Do not tell me it's about building team chemistry. Do not tell me it's about making them a better player. Do not tell me it's about creating bonds that will last a lifetime. There's nothing, if true, there's nothing about the alleged details that's going to build team chemistry. Saying that you're going to sexually assault a teammate and referencing the horror that is Jerry Sandusky and that he brought upon children, it's not going to build a better team. It's not going to bond a team. That's not how you develop a culture. Like, when you're on the road in November in terrible conditions with a slim lead and you need to get a stop to get a win, nobody's thinking, hey, these are the guys who threatened to Sandusky me. I got to make a play for them. Man, I'm so glad they put me through that. It made me stronger. It made me a better player. I'm going to make that game-winning tackle because we are so tightly bonded because they threatened to sexually assault me. Yeah, that's not how that works. And I'm not even going to get into the hypotheticals about what should happen if this lawsuit turns out to be true, because I don't want to speculate or even think about it. I just want this not to be true. I want this not to be true, and I never want to hear about it ever again. And I sure as hell never want to talk about it ever again. I hope this is not true. I am responding to the report. And for the last time, I hope the report is not true. And if it is, we can go from there. But on this notion of hazing, I have never, ever, ever understood that. And don't tell me I don't get it because I never played football. No, I never played football. But I don't need to play football to know that that's not how that works. It's not making anybody better. It sure as hell is not building chemistry. And do not come in here with, yeah, well, we went through it, so now they're going through it. How about nobody goes through it? Carrying pads is one thing. Threatening sexual assault is another. 1-800-636-8686. And Penn State fan, I said if it is true. I made this very clear. The school says they investigated. They denied it. I'm not saying it's true. I'm saying if. I'm saying there's a report. And then if the player mentioned made the whole thing up, shame on him. But they're going to great lengths if they made it up. None of it makes sense. When we come back, phone lines are open. Do what you want with them. Jeopardy's got championship week that just ended. I will try to get to that. Colin Sexton, bottom of the hour. Jim Rohn podcast later on today. Don't go anywhere. We'll come right back.
You're listening to the Jim Rohn Show.
You want to thank O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs because we are close, we are convenient, we are known for our guaranteed everyday low prices and excellent customer service from professional parts people that you can trust. Stop by your local O'Reilly Auto Parts today. O'Reilly Auto Parts, better prices every day. Right. Additionally, one NBA note, Mark Stein had tweeted earlier, January 22nd against San Antonio is the target for Zion Williamson's NBA debut. That according to Pelicans EVP of basketball operations, David Griffin, who is speaking live to reporters right now. That was about maybe 40 minutes ago, actually. So that is the target date, January 22nd, which would be great. Love to see it. Everybody's waiting on it. So Mark Stein had that last hour. 1-800-636-8686. All right, so make no mistake about this. This is championship week. LSU bullied their way to the top of the college football mountain on Monday, and they've got these cigar nubs to prove it. The AFC and NFC championship games will be played on Sunday. And then on top of all that, last night, a GOAT was crowned. A GOAT was crowned in Jeopardy.
This is Jeopardy.
Damn, Hawk. You nerd. You're so excited. Hawk loves that stuff. Look, I don't even need to justify or rationalize or explain why I'm talking about Jeopardy on a sports radio program. Not when the four-night, primetime, one-off, GOAT tourney obliterated Twitter and the ratings book. Not when three legendary nerds answering trivia questions did a bigger number then game one of the NBA Finals, then game one of the World Series, then game one of the Stanley Cup Final. Not when Jeopardy outrated every single Monday night football game this year except for one. So, that concludes me burying that lead, because for the first time in the 56-year history of that program, we now know, without doubt, without any question, who the greatest Jeopardy contestant of all time is, and the GOAT of Jeopardy is none other than Ken Jennings.
The greatest of all time. Congratulations.
You are now officially Jeopardy's greatest of all time. How are you feeling?
I'm just shell-shocked. Like, I'm bewildered. I can't believe what just happened.
You probably know that name. It was back in 2004 that Jennings ran off a record 74 wins in a row. A record that still stands today and probably never will be broken. Because the next closest streak is not even half that long. And it belongs to Jeopardy! James Holzhauer. who systematically changed Jeopardy forever during his 32-game run. But still, he didn't get within 40 wins of Jennings. But he racked up every single one of the top 10 single-day winnings records and prompted the question from every fan who's ever watched that show. Who is the greatest of all time then? And unlike in sports, where we never really get a clear-cut answer on that, Jeopardy is different. Because there is no window to your prime. Like, if your brain... you can't do that GOAT conversation because you can't compare players across generations. In Generation or in Jeopardy, you can. Because if your brain and your buzzer thumb still function properly, you're still in your prime. You don't age out. So the producers come up with this crazy format, and they put it in prime time, and then they fill out the third podium with Brad Rutter, who had never lost to a human before this tourney. Quick note on Rutter. A lot of noobs are going to say he didn't belong. One, because they never heard of him. And two, because he got absolutely worked by Jennings and Holzhauer. And to me, that's a bad take. Because Rutter had every right to be there. Nobody had won more money on Jeopardy than him. No one's won more tournaments than him. He first played in an era when Jeopardy only allowed contestants to win 5 games in a row before kicking them off the show. Remember that time? We might not even know who Jennings and Holzhauer are if not for them lifting the limit on games you could win after Brad won 5. So, was he outclassed? Sure. Did he mangle every double clue he had? Yes. But Brad's failure these past 2 weeks were not necessarily a lack of knowledge. Seems to me my man was having a lot more problems with buzzer prep. Something that he admitted was killing him against James and Ken, who both mastered the technique of ringing in before the other two dudes. Like, when you've got three geniuses on stage, you best believe they've got the answers to every single question, or most of them. So it's not necessarily a matter of retention of the material, or IQ, or smarts. It's a matter of getting in before the other guys do. James and Ken were able to do so. Bradley was not. That's why Bradford got rolled up in a carpet. As for Holzhauer, you could easily make the case that the lack of daily doubles sunk him. That's where that guy lives now. That's where he makes his dough. Nobody attacked daily doubles like this guy. And it's why his winnings were so absurdly high during his run. This guy's a gambler. He bet the entire stack on himself almost every single time he found one of those clues. But the only way to get a daily double is to be in charge of the board. And Kenny was frequently in charge of the board most of those 4 nights. And he never missed when he got the opportunity to double up. In other words, the best way to beat Patrick Mahomes is to keep the ball out of his hand. Same thing with the daily doubles. If you run the board, the other guy who's so good at them is not going to get to them. All in all, 24 daily doubles over 4 nights produced 23 all-in bets. That's the Holzhauer effect. Don't ever get that twisted. Jennings said as much himself. He said he had to adjust his game to Holzhauer's game in order to win. And he did. And he gets credit for that. That being said, Ken is a freak. They all are. But Ken is the freakiest of the freaks. Man, this dude is so smart. And he never misses. And for 4 nights, he did put on a clinic. And he proved he is the undisputed GOAT. The best part of the tournament is that the producers mostly created a format that left no doubt. Mostly. By making that tournament a multi-night event with 2 games per match, they eliminated any possibility of flukiness, except for those daily doubles. But again, you could argue that being in control of the board at the time and finding the daily double is in fact a skill. It's not luck. The real kicker here is Alex Trebek himself. Remember, Trebek was given a near-death sentence. Stage 4... pancreatic cancer. He got that diagnosis last year. And right now, this guy's still battling. He's still fighting. In fact, winning the fight. The show has raised a lot of money and a great deal of awareness for that cause, which is awesome. And Trebek is crushing the battle to the point where he got to host the most watched and most important tournament of the show's nearly six-decade run. So that's the best storyline of all, right? Congrats to Ken Jennings, the smartest dude and the king of the nerds.
Nerds! I mean this absolutely positively
from a complimentary standpoint. And that guy's incredible. Congrats. I mean, any of the rest of us watch that show, and if it's a non-sports related category and you get even one right, you're like, man, I'm smart. How you like me now? I just got that $600 category right. And these guys are just ticking them off. Congratulations also to all 60 of Adam Hawk's followers. They don't have to read his tweets about this anymore. Dude, how many followers did you lose during this tournament?
What?
Although this show is on every single night, maybe the mute button on his account is your best bet. Salute the champ. That's my take. Hey, Jim. This is one for 3C1. Jim, I am still the greatest player on Jeopardy. Signed, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar.
The five movie ratings in the United States are NC-17, R, PG, PG-13, and this one. Kareem.
What is X?
No.
Perverted much?
You went in the wrong direction. We were looking for a G rating.
I thought he was going to say, what is triple X hardcore?
What is X?
No.
Kareem, what is Pornhub.com? No.
What is X?
No.
What is, Kareem, what is triple X hardcore? No.
What is X?
Wait, Alex, Pornhub.com? No.
What is X?
Damn, Cap. What have you been doing in your spare time? Nice try with that. When we return, Colin Sexton of the Cavaliers. One last segment. There may be time on the back end. If there's something you want to say, say it right now. Say it right here. If you want to look ahead to championship weekend, AFC, NFC, who you got? Last I saw, the Chiefs were 7.5-point favorites over the Titans. Man, don't kid yourself. You know the Titans can win that game. Especially if they get Derrick Henry going and he's running downhill. The 49ers, I also saw, were the same 7.5-point favorites over the Packers. And they did light them up earlier this season, but to me, the Packers are a different team now than they were then. Who do you like in either or both of those matchups? Right now, you like a sports update? Then here you go. Rich Ackerman's. The ATP Ask the Pros, brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all of your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices, every day. All right, we will have the ATP momentarily. We are efforting our next guest and in the process of setting that up. And in fact, I've got it. He is a guard for the Cleveland Cavaliers. Had a big game last night. 25 points, couple of steals in that game against the Clippers. For the season, he is averaging 19 points, 3 rebounds, and 2 assists per game. He was a member of the NBA All-Rookie team last year. He was the SEC Freshman of the Year at Alabama. He was the 8th pick overall in 2018. The Cavaliers are in Memphis on Friday night. Colin Sexton is my guest. Colin, good to have you on the show. How are you doing?
How are you doing?
Good, dude. How about you?
I'm doing good.
Good. Appreciate it. So you're coming off a tough game last night against the Clippers where you were battling them throughout the first half. Then they pulled away. So let me ask you this. As a competitor, how do you go about getting that loss out of your system and moving on to make sure that you're ready for Memphis? What's your process?
Well, after a game like that, we just come in the locker room and they just pretty much just talk to us about what our thoughts were, and we just sit there and pretty much just communicate and talk about different things, and then the next day we'll watch film and just try to clean up the things that we need to improve on. Maybe it's transition defense, maybe the little things that could have helped us change the game by a lot. So we just try to watch our mistakes a whole lot and pretty much just for next game not do the same thing.
Colin Sexton joining us. All right, so last night was the second game of a back-to-back. It's the fourth game of a six-game road trip. I mean, that can wear you down physically, even mentally. So how do you go about approaching a day like today to rest and recover and get ready for the next game? What does that involve?
Just go lifting weights and doing a lot of stretching just because you got to make sure your body is strong. You got to make sure you're still flexible. You might be sore after these games, so a lot of sleep and a lot of recovery is well needed. Just because we've been going a lot and it's a lot of games in the season. You got to make sure you're taking care of your body by also eating the right foods and doing the little things that's going
to
help.
You know, it seems to me like as a young player, you're already starting to figure this out. But then again, there are stories from last season where you would be at the practice facility until 3 a.m. putting up shots, or you'd go there after a flight landed from a road trip. So exactly where did that kind of work ethic come from, and how much do you love that grind?
I love it. My work ethic comes from my parents just because, they wake up 3, 4 o'clock in the morning with no complaints, going to work each and every day. So me and my siblings, we all just pretty much got that work ethic, and it's easy for me just to go to the gym and work out and just try to be the best person I can be. It's a lot better than getting up and going to a real job and just because I'm doing something I love. So when you love something, you put the time, put the effort, do whatever it takes to make sure you get there and moving forward.
Cleveland Cavalier Colin Sexton joining us. You know, I bring up the work ethic because, you know, you have that legend, but also there's been so much that's been built up around the fact that you were unranked in high school, and then you became a five-star recruit. Like, you just kind of came out of nowhere, or you were some kind of late bloomer. But when you consider the hours that you were always putting in, going back to when you were a toddler even, does it feel like you came out of nowhere, or was this just the natural growth and progression in your game?
I feel like it was just a natural growth in my progression. I felt like I just had to be around the right people so that people could see me and see what I could actually do. So I got that when I started playing EYBL. And once I started playing EYBL, then everyone pretty much just started knowing my talent and pretty much knowing that I could be a good player.
All right, so when you look back on it, what's the biggest difference then between college ball and the NBA? Like, is it about talent? Is it about the schemes? Is it about the pace? Or is it about something else?
I would say it's talent, because every game you're going against somebody really good on the other team, as well as you have to lock in mentally because you can't mess up on any coverages just because if you mess up on a coverage, they'll score or maybe a turnover or something like that. So you have to be locked in physically and mentally, and you got to make sure you're taking care of your body. I know because the amount of games is way more than college, so that's a huge impact from college to NBA.
Colin Sexton joining us. You know, talking to you right now, it's pretty clear you're definitely a positive person. You're optimistic. But, you know, something that comes with a job, of course, is criticism and people saying what you cannot do. Like at one point, there may have been a rap that you didn't shoot the ball really well, but then you hit more than 40% from deep as a rookie. Then they'll move on to something else to complain about. You've said you're not afraid to hear that. You can actually use it as motivation. Do the critics and people who've got that kind of thing to say, does that fire you up, and can you use that as fuel?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I try to use that, the criticism, the hate, everything that people say I can't do, try to use it as fuel, going to the gym and working on those things. So so as time goes on, I just continue to show and prove, all right, give me something else like that I can't do, or say something that I'm not really good at so I can work on that. So people said I couldn't shoot, so I just started working on my jump shot even more and trying to make it more consistent. and I shot it really good. So,
yeah, you did. So after they said that and you proved them wrong, what was the next thing that they moved on to?
Defense. They said I really wasn't a really good defender, but if you look at most of our games, they put me on one of the best players, no matter what, who we're going against, and I take that challenge because whatever my team needs from me, I'll make sure I do it. And if that's going to make it tough for somebody on the other team, I will.
Cavalier, Colin Sexton, my guest. And then Tristan Thompson had a great quote earlier this year when he was talking about you and Darius Garland. He said, quote, "I think Colin and DG, they're more like the new age millennials. They just absorb everything. They don't backtalk. It's not like they're D heads or D bags. They're good guys. I enjoy being around them," end quote. So as a second-year player, how do you approach both being a leader, but at the same time making sure that you're humble and you're learning from the vets and you're fitting in?
Just because I would say just the vets, they know what it takes to win. They've been to the finals. They won championships. So it's coming from a good place, and it's coming from a place where you know, like, all right, they've been there. They've been where we want to get to. So whatever knowledge, whatever criticism or anything they can give us, we just got to take it and run with it. And I feel like me and DG, we have been pretty much just taking that challenge and listening to them and pretty much just getting better as the season goes on.
Talking to Colin Sexton, and we will do so for a few more moments. He's helping me close the show. There was that story last week surrounding the team and something your head coach, John Beilein, said in a film session. He says he meant to say slugs, but that's not the word that came out. You said last week, quote, "He calls us slugs all the time because we're slow, but it's good. We knew what he meant. It just got blown out of proportion," end quote. So what was your reaction in the moment, and then what did you make of the entire situation overall?
In the moment, we all like, all right, coach, we pretty much knew what he meant, but it's just like when tensions are high right after film, everybody was like kind of upset because he was getting on us about film and stuff. So when it happened, everybody was like shocked a little bit, but we all just sat there. We all knew what he meant, just because, like, especially in transition defense, people are like, all right, look at y'all slugs getting back on defense. Like, y'all are moving slow. Like, we need y'all to run. So we knew what he meant. Just got blown out of proportion. But I feel like since then, Coach Beilein, he's just came even more closer to us, and we've came more closer as a team, and I feel like we're moving in the right direction.
Colin Sexton, my guest. You know, Cleveland is such a proud city. I mean, it's a city. It's a great sports town, and it's a city that's had some great moments, but some really tough sports moments too. What's it mean to you to play in that city and to play for those fans?
It's amazing. It's amazing. The Cleveland fans, I feel like they're one of the best in the country, just because, like, no matter what, they're going to be with you. Y'all losing, they're going to come to the games. Like, all the games pretty much sell out. So I feel like they're riding with us, and things are definitely going to get better. And I feel like Cleveland is a place where they have really true and loyal fans.
Hey, Colin, one last thing. You were part of something really cool that I want to ask you about. You were part of a project where three schools participated in a writing contest. In fact, you organized it. How did that idea come to be, and why was that an important project for you?
It was important to me just because, like, people don't really do that, and I wanted to do something that was different. I wanted to just be able to interact with everyone and see how their point of view and what they're thankful for. And I read so many letters that was amazing, and all the students that participated, they got a prize, and then the winners, like, it was just amazing. This is my second year doing it, so I'll just continue to do it years to come, and I love it. I love it. Just because when I was in school, I remember having to do, like, little writing assignments to see who's going to write the best. Just the competitiveness, though. It's cool.
All right, so finally, the topic of this contest was who or what inspires me and why. So let me turn that around on you. So where you are in your life right now, who or what inspires you and why?
Inspires me. I would say my parents, just everything they've been through, and they're still together, and they're still pushing and always there for me and my siblings, it's amazing just because, like, they never complain. When you never complain about anything, you just go out there and work, and that's someone I just look up to and just to be thankful to have in my life, and that's my parents.
I like it. He's an NBA All-Rookie from last year, the SEC Freshman of the Year at Alabama. He was the eighth pick overall in 2018 and having another big season. Colin Sexton, my guest. Colin, great job. Really nice to have you on the show. I appreciate that very much.
Thank you.
Great talking to you. Well done. I'm really impressed. Really impressed. That's a second-year player. All right, then. Hope you enjoyed that. Got time on the way out the door for a couple of things. Let's see here. Dear Mr. Radio Man, you drink matcha tea every day? You should try celery juice every morning. Psych. Signed, Nectar Juice Girl.
Psych.
Brian in Charlotte. I mean, look, I was pissed. I got over it. It's not that. It didn't jump the day for me. I'm not still pissed, but I was. Let's see. Ed G tweets. I put Adam Hawk on my back. Signed, Ken Jennings.
Greg Jennings. I put the team on my back, dude.
That was such a great moment. Greg Jennings. I put the team on my back, dude. Benny and Wisco tweets, always a good day when Sexton makes his way onto the show. Thanks, the gunslinger. No, that was Colin Sexton, not the gunslinger sexting. Come on, Benny. Dear Jim, the Knicks giving that dude scratchers is pretty regrettable. Sincerely, Tiger Woods avoiding making eye contact when the bill came during lunch with the Seals.
Tiger!
I don't even need to get started on that again. Anybody else? 1-800-636-8686. Also, coming up after the show, a little bit later on, we'll push it out. I'm going to tape this in about 40 minutes. Dan Wetzel is back. And the reason he's back for episode 112 of the Jim Rome podcast, he is the EP of a brand new documentary, which is dropping on Netflix later today about Aaron Hernandez. And we'll see what new information is there. And I'm looking forward to that. And with Dan Wetzel, of course, you can talk to him about anything at all. So we'll have that a little bit later on. That's episode 112 of the Jim Rome podcast. My thanks to Hall of Famer Bill Cowher, Tom Verducci, an MLB insider for MLB Network. Colin Sexton made his Jungle debut. Cleveland Cavaliers guard, young guy, very thoughtful guy. Enjoyed that very much. If I didn't get to your phone call, sorry about that. We can run it back tomorrow, hopefully. See you then. Thank you for listening. Have a great day. My thanks to the XR4TI. And again, look for that Jim Rome podcast, episode 112, a little bit later on today. See you then. We're out.